Good morning, and welcome to Sunday Morning Worship, a broadcast of parts of the worship service at St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts, as it was recorded last Sunday morning and brought to you today to the glory of God. The message this morning is from our senior pastor, Reverend David Riley, and is titled, Flooded in Hope. It's based on the epistle lesson from Romans chapter 15. Visitors are always welcome to join us here at 60 Broad Street each Sunday at 10 a.m. And now, your friends at St. John's invite you to stay tuned as we worship our great and loving God.
Good morning. It's a joy and delight to welcome you again in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ, on this, the second Sunday in Advent. We get to light the second blue candle. I invite everybody to stand as we sing our opening hymn, number 342, What Hope an Eden Prophesied. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Old Testament lesson is from Isaiah chapter 11. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with his rod, the rod of his mouth, and with the breadth of his hips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and the faithfulness of the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, the young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal for the people. Of him that shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you.
The epistle is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 15. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, through the endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let the people extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, and even he who arises to rule the Gentiles, in him will be the Gentiles' hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the third chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of God of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. This is the Gospel of the Lord. We make common confession of our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
Let us pray. May the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. The story is told about a little boy who walks into a grocery store. And this little boy asks the clerk, "Sir, do you have any Advent?" And the clerk says, I don't think so. What exactly is it?" And the little boy replies, "I don't know either. But Mom says we can't have Christmas until we have Advent." We know, just as we said last Sunday, that Advent is the time when you and I get together and we get ready for the coming of Jesus, His first coming at Bethlehem, His coming into our hearts, and His second coming at the end of the world. We know that we all will have to wait about 2.5 more weeks to more fully celebrate His coming at Bethlehem. But we don't know how long we will have to wait for His final coming at the end of time. All we know is that we must learn every day to wait for His coming. Today's epistle text says that God gives us hope as you and I wait. In fact, the Apostle Paul mentions hope 4 times in these 9 verses of our epistle text. One of the first American pilots shot down in the Vietnam War was named James B. Stockdale. And Mr. Stockdale became a prisoner of war of the Viet Cong for 7 long, agonizing years. And during those years of captivity, he was repeatedly tortured, held in solitary confinement, and chained in cruel and unusual positions in order to break him down and to get him to denounce American involvement in the war. After the imprisonment was finally over, James Stockdale was asked how he could have possibly survived 7 years of those kind of horrible treatment. And he said he had hope. He had hope of one day being released. And he had hope of going home. It was hope that kept him alive all those years. It is hope that helps us to wait to celebrate Christmas. It is hope that sustains our faith as we wait for His coming again. Hope is conviction. Webster's dictionary lists 7 definitions of hope, all centered around the idea of expecting some desire to be fulfilled. The Christian hope that the Apostle Paul talks about is much more than that. It is being absolutely certain that what we expect to happen will indeed happen. Christian hope is a gift. The Holy Scriptures were written and preserved so that we could learn to have hope. Left to my sinful self, I do not encourage my fellow Christian. I am simply unable to do it. And that is why Paul wrote verse 4 of our text. It speaks of the written word of the Old Testament. Well, why did God have the Scriptures recorded? For our learning. And that learning is carefully spelled out. Paul provides us with the purpose for which the Holy Scriptures were written. We are in great need of endurance and consolation. Why are we in need of these 2 gifts? Because, like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we encounter so much grief and so much sorrow, so many trials and tribulations in this life. But we Christians are enabled to live through these hardships and survive. Why? Because the Holy Scriptures give Christians consolation. The Scriptures console us, they help us to endure, and they help us keep our grip on our eternal hope in Christ. Hope is the child of faith. Martin Luther makes reference here to Romans 8, verse 24, which says, "For in this hope we were saved." Now, hope that is not seen, that is seen, is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? And then Luther writes, "Hope therefore removes all material things. Hence we need patience. And in place of material things, God gives us the word of comfort by which we are sustained so that we do not lack in patience." Our Christian hope is based on fulfilled promises. The epistle text for today is part of the Apostle Paul's emphasis in this part of his letter to the Romans for the strong and for the weak to accept each other as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ accepts each one of us. This includes the Gentiles. God was true to the promises He made with the patriarchs, and He sent His Son as a Jew to the Jews. Although Jesus was a servant of the Jews, in the sense that He came first to the Jews, the Gentiles were always included in God's plan of eternal salvation. This was part of God's original covenant plan and promise given to Abraham, recorded in the book of Genesis, chapter 12. God will continue to keep His promises just as He has always done. It is His very nature. From the very beginning of the covenant, God had the Gentiles in mind when He promised Abraham that through him all the peoples on earth will be blessed. The Gentiles would see God's mighty acts toward His people and hear their witness. The Jews were to be a light to the Gentiles. Paul makes his point by quoting four scripture passages drawing from all three portions of the Holy Scriptures and from the Old Testament: the Law, the Prophets, and the Writings. Verse 9 of our text is quoted from Psalm 18 and 2 Samuel chapter 22. Verse 10 is quoted from Deuteronomy, chapter 32. Verse 11 is taken from Psalm 117. And verse 12 from Isaiah, chapter 11. As a little boy carried his baseball bat and into the backyard for his private practice, he said to himself over and over again, "I am the greatest hitter in the whole wide world." And so he tossed the ball up into the air. He swung. He missed. "Well, strike one," he cried. Again he said, "I am the greatest hitter in the whole wide world." So he swung again. And he missed. Strike two. He looked at the ball. And he looked at the bat. And he reminded himself once again, "I am the greatest hitter in the whole wide world." So he tossed the ball up into the air. He swung with all his might, and he missed totally. Strike three. But then, without changing the confidence in his voice, he said, "I am the greatest pitcher in the whole wide world." Through the Scriptures, the child of God may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God is truly a God of hope. As we believe, and some scholars have translated the Greek word as trust, in Him He gives us hope. Sin and unbelief separate us from God and destroy our trust in His promises. we lose hope. Our relationship with the God of hope comes through the forgiveness He offers in the sacrifice of His Son. We are born again into a living hope, as the Apostle Peter puts it in his first letter. In what sense is this God the God of hope? Because He gives us hope in His Son Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Listen to these words from chapter 6 of the letter to the Hebrews. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely I will bless you and multiply you." And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of His purpose, He guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Christian hope is given by the power of the Holy Spirit. With hope comes joy and peace. Joy and peace are gifts from the Holy Spirit. Verse 13 of our text is a benediction, like a prayer. The first thing the prayer asks is that we be filled with joy and peace as we believe and trust. In fact, joy and rejoice are mentioned over 150 times in your Bible. And if you add joyous and joyful, it is well over 200 times. St. Francis of Assisi, a well-known Italian friar from the 13th century, once said, "Spiritual joy is as necessary to the soul as blood is to the body." Even in times of trouble, the Christian can have joy and hope. Peace in the Bible means a sense of well-being and fulfillment. Shalom in Hebrew and Irene in Greek, from which we get the woman's name Irene. We have peace when we are made right with God. Jesus, as our Savior, gives us this spiritual peace. Paul says we are to look to the Scriptures, which will give us the consolation and the endurance we so desperately need, and will cause us to cling to our eternal hope. The Holy Word offers us forgiveness of sins and everlasting life, as well as hope. Paul further writes in our epistle text, "May God fill you." Will fill you with what? With all joy and with all peace. That's pretty strong language. But remember, when you have the gospel, you have all of the joy and all of the peace, even though there may be times when you may not feel it as much as you would like. God fills you by giving you the constant gift of faith. And the result is that you may abound in hope, the sure and certain conviction you are safe in His arms and you are on your way to everlasting life. Dear friends in Christ, above the entrance to hell in Dante's Divine Comedy, are found these words: "Before me things created were none, save things eternal, and eternal I endure. All hope abandon, ye who enter here. Hell is the place where there is no hope at all." Perhaps we know more about that now than when Dante wrote this phrase centuries ago. We have moved on from a time in which we hoped that through human achievement we could conquer most problems. And in fact, we have solved some problems. We have created computers and the information superhighway. We have gone to the moon and back. We have cured some diseases, but problems continue to abound. And the world in which you and I live in is still a very hopeless world. So many of our problems defy solutions, and it is so easy for us Christians to slip into the hopelessness of this world. But you and I are having Advent this year, just as the little boy in the grocery store put it, we know that Christmas will come. And we know that Jesus Christ will come again. So you and I wait by the power of the Holy Spirit, flooded with hope and joy and peace. And now may this hope, joy, and peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
We remain standing for our closing hymn, "Come, Thou Precious Ransom, Come."
You've been listening to a broadcast of the worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts. If you wish to contact us or would like to learn more about the Christian faith, please call 413-568-1417 or visit us at stjohnswestfield.org. God's blessings to you.